The United States of America Department of Defense wanted to collaborate in the military research between business and government laboratories. And so they started this project. And the project was called Advanced Research Projects Agency's Wide Area Network. At that point in time, it was called the acronym ARPANET, A-R-P-A-N-E-T, ARPANET. And then when it grew, it extended to the universities. And so when universities and other United States institutions became connected to ARPANET, it grew. And it grew and grew, and it became internet. And when it crossed the borders into other countries, and it grew even further, it became what they called the World Wide Web. And that's why we have our www.com. World Wide Web. It grew. It started in the 1960s with just simple collaboration. But when more and more companies, more and more people, more and more institutions got involved in this link, it grew and grew and grew. So what exactly is the internet? When your computer is connected to another computer anywhere in the world by way of a dedicated router and server. That's internet, isn't it? So a computer on its own is just a computer. If it is not connected to another computer, that computer is without internet. There is no networking. There is no connection. Because when two computers are internet connected, they can send and receive all kinds of information, such as text, so you can have emails, graphics, voice, so you can have Skype, you can talk like a telephone. And then, of course, you can have pictures, so you have video link as well, and then, of course, other computer programs. Now, no one owns the internet, although several organizations the world over, they collaborate together in the function and the development of the internet by way of high-speed fiber optic cables, which they called the backbones. And through this, the bulk of the internet data travels from one country to the next country by way of telephone companies in all these countries. And that's internet, isn't it? And so the question is it true that the internet is addicting? Now, if you just simply use it to send mails, unless you have many friends all over the world and you keep on sending emails, writing to practically everybody under the sun that you know, then it will be addictive in terms of just only the mail. But if you don't, you realize that writing mails, you only write when you have things to write. And so, therefore, you use it as and when you need it, so therefore, it does not addict you if it's only for emails, for text. Maybe for sending videos, maybe not so bad. The main thing, I believe, that is addictive, because addiction simply means compulsive activity. Activities that controls you, whereby it occupies you, and you do it habitually and with great compulsion. It seems that you cannot control yourself. It seems that there is a pull. Which aspect of the internet, the text, the graphics, no. The voice, unless you are somebody who talk and talk and talk, but who's going to be there to listen to you? So voice also not so bad. Videos, maybe. But I think that thing that you transmit from computer to computer, from one end of your computer to some other computer all over the world, and nowadays they allow multiple computers to link together, and that which may be addictive is the computer programs. And some of these we call these games, isn't it? Interactive games, where you do not just simply play against your own computer. There are games that just simply play with your own computer. You don't have to connect to the net to do it. But now, because of the net, there are these games that are designed whereby you play with others. And these others that you compete with, that you challenge, they have many different levels. And these are the levels that will hook you, that will make you addictive. You become addicted to it because they control you, because there is this innate desire in us to beat the other person. And so if that person reach up to level number 15, you want to reach number 16. And if he passes number 16 to number 20, you want to reach number 21. And then there is this score thing. So you want to have the hang, everything stopped, and you start from square one all over again. Correct? Not correct. And then even in the midst of this playing, you realize that when your mom calls you, time for lunch, time for dinner, okay, but you never move. Because you are caught in this thing. You cannot let go. You must keep on playing, keep on playing. Whatever the game might be. You have been captured by them. Because these people are very clever. They design these programs with the internet available for this purpose. And it must not be limited to only the computer. Because nowadays, with modern technology, it is not only the computer that allows us to have internet. Now you have mobile internet, isn't it? Your handphone, your iPad, any gadget that has this capability of connecting to another gadget, that's internet. And as long as you can do this, you realize that in the MRT train, while you're on the bus, anywhere you go, anywhere in the world, as long as there is this link, you are caught. You become a slave to this program, this gadget, that is not supposed to be. It's supposed to be used by you. Now it controls you. Is that wrong to use the internet? Nothing wrong with using the internet. There's nothing wrong with using the internet to type a mail to send it to somebody. It's free. It's cheap. I mean, free in the sense that you have to pay the monthly bill to subscribe to get into the internet. You have to pay a fee, right? Every month. That's about all that you pay. How many mails you send out, you don't have to buy stamps like in the olden days where you have to write your letter on pieces of paper and then you put a stamp onto your envelope, write the address, and then you send out. Now you can send as many as possible. It's useful. It helps. It gets information across very fast, very cheaply. So by itself, there's nothing wrong, but some of the programs in there, when you do not control them, they control you. And that's the problem. And that is exactly what you find in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, where the Lord warns us. Because as Christians, we are the people who enjoy the greatest freedom. Because we have been freed from the bondage of sin. Because that is the greatest slavery, the bondage of sin. Where sin is our master, where those who are not born again, when we were unbelievers, we didn't even know that we were slaves to sin, where sin was our master, and the wages of sin, where the master pay us the wages, and that wage is death. Right? For the wages of sin is death, because sin was the master, and he paid us our wage, and that was death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So once we are saved, we are born again, we have been justified, we have been washed, we have been sanctified by the blood of Christ, which is what verse 11 says, we have a lot of freedom. And because of this freedom, the danger is that as Christians, we must not allow ourselves to be enslaved again. Now please understand that addiction must not be applied to Scripture. I mean, you cannot say, I'm addicted to prayer. Because God says, pray without ceasing. I mean, you cannot say, I'm addicted to prayer. I'm addicted to reading the Bible. You're supposed to read the Bible every day. So addiction is with reference to things that are lawful, things that you find in the world. Not spiritual things, not God's Word. Okay, the addiction means something that you do that is out of compulsion, habitually something that controls you. Whereby it wastes your time, whereby it snares you, whereby it is not good for you. Okay? You cannot say, I'm addicted to my wife. I mean, you're supposed to love your wife. Aren't you supposed to love your wife, think of her, you're supposed to have eyes only for her. Okay? You can be addicted to food, and that's bad.
Alright, not your wife. Not things that are good, like the Bible, spiritual things. And so God warns us, all things are lawful unto me. Now this phrase will repeat itself in this verse. So you realize that there are two warnings. All things are lawful unto me. Now the lawful things must not be understood in terms of our Singapore law. When this was written, God doesn't think of Singapore. This is lawful in terms of God's word. That means anything that you do does not contravene the word of God. That means it is not a sin. Okay? All things that you are allowed to do that is not sinful, and therefore internet will fall into this category, because like we said, internet on its own is nothing wrong with it. It is not sinful to use the internet. Or you can use it to send the mail. It is not a wicked, sinful activity. And so therefore, all things are lawful, so the internet will apply here, but all things are not expedient, and sometimes it may not be good for us. Because certain programs, certain things that you use through the internet, you know it is not good for you. So you have to be very careful, you have to be very selective. And whatever it is that you use, it must not cross the line. You must not let it cross the line, because through the internet, you can have access to pornographic sites. You cross the line, it becomes unlawful already. You break the laws of God when you use it for evil, sinful, wicked things. Not just criminal. Criminal standard is too low a standard for believers. We must follow the Bible standard. And you realize that whatever the Bible says, the law of the land will also forbid. You must use the scripture as our standard, because we are Christians. Not the standard of the world. If the world says it's okay, that does not mean that it's okay if it is against God's word. So it may not be expedient, that means profitable. That's the word. As long as it is not profitable for what? For your spiritual well-being. For your walk with the Lord, to help you pray more, to help you draw closer to God, to help you become more and more like Christ, to help you in Christian fellowship, to help you obey God's word, to honor your parents. Whatever it is, including the internet, that it is not profitable in your walk with the Lord, in your obedience to God's word, your testimony for Christ, then you have to stay away. You have to keep it under control. Because all things are lawful for me, Paul says. First is, all things are lawful unto me. I can do them, but it may not be profitable, so I won't do them. All things are lawful for me, good for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So I must not become addictive. That's what it means, isn't it? That's the Bible's definition of addiction for the Christian. Whatever it is, even it may be good for you, but if you become a slave to it, whereby it controls you, you realize that you cannot do without it. That is dangerous. Because it has now become your master. And only Jesus Christ ought to be your master. Not anything else, not anyone else. Whatever that activity might be, it may be good for you up to a point in time. But the moment you keep on doing it and keep on doing it, whereby you realize that you are now under the power of the thing, then you have to put a stop to it. Now there are many people who love to jog, who love to run, and love to exercise. But the problem is sometimes when they run and when they exercise, they do it so frequently, so often, that when they stop doing it for whatever reason, they feel so uncomfortable. They feel that, I cannot, I must do it. That's what it means. There's nothing wrong with exercise. It's good for you. Keep you healthy so that you can be more effective when you serve the Lord. It is good to be healthy. But the moment it controls you and you realize that you cannot do without it, you become so caught up by it. That kind of compulsive feeling and emotions that now dominates and controls you. It is a compulsive activity that you cannot but allow the grip to hold on to your heart and your being. That's where the problem comes. You come under the power of that activity. And sometimes the internet can have that hold, whereby you stay up until the wee hours of the morning. You just simply don't sleep. And you know that when you don't have enough sleep, the next day you wake up, you're going to be grumpy and grouchy when you go to school, when you go to work. And they say that people who don't have enough sleep are stupid people. Stupid and no friends. Because when you are drowsy, you don't have enough sleep, you can't concentrate in class, right? How to study when you don't have enough sleep? A teacher is teaching, you are sleeping. So therefore you become stupid. Right? And when you have no sleep and you become very grumpy and grouchy, everybody avoids you. So no friends. Right? So stupid and no friends. True or not true? Isn't it? I mean, you don't have proper sleep, proper rest, and you wake up and you have to go through what you have to do in the daytime, but you don't have enough rest. Why? Because you have the internet as your master telling you, don't sleep, play with me. And you listen to their voice. Don't sleep, play with me. Because your friend that you are challenging is in America. Nighttime for you, daytime for him. That's internet, right? One computer to another computer anywhere in the world. And so you want to challenge him. And so you play and you play and you play. And he controls you and you become a slave. And you just don't want to admit it. And as long as you don't admit it, you're not going to put a stop to it. You're not going to repent. You're not going to see it as wrong. And you're not going to see it as a sin. But God says you have to, dear friends. You have to realize it. And so God will give us three indicators to help us realize why things that are lawful, we must not do it because it is not profitable. Things that may be lawful for me, but I must not come under the power of any. He gave us three very biblical reasons. The first one is found in verse 19a. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? That's reason number one. When you become a Christian, when you have been washed, when you have been sanctified, when you have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, something has happened to you. You may not look the same. I mean, you may not look different. Outwardly speaking, you look the same. Fair enough. But as far as God is concerned, something has happened to you. And that thing that happened to you is that now this body of yours, your body, now we're talking about your physical body. We're not talking about your glorified body. This body, this mortal flesh that is on earth, whereby God says your soul or your spirit dwells in to use this body to serve the Lord, because once this body stops breathing, your service is over. As long as there is life in this body from henceforth, you must realize it is called the temple of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because which is in you, the Holy Spirit is in you. This is now the dwelling place of God Himself. In other words, now you are a walking testimony for God. People say, don't look at me, look at Christ. Alright? Jesus says, you will now be Christ. That's what Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, the moment He gave us the Beatitude, which is a description of what it means to be a Christian, step one, all the way right up to the end. Step eight. Eight Beatitudes. And if you really have all these Beatitudes, this experience as a believer, then the final step is you be salt, you be light, and when you do your good works, they will see your good works and they will glorify God who is in heaven. That means they are supposed to see Christ by the way that you live in this body. You cannot say, see Christ, live in my soul. They can't see your soul, they see your body. How you live your life as a Christian in this body. And that's what it means by the temple of God. And that is the first biblical reason why you cannot allow something that is not Christ, who is your legitimate biblical master and Lord, and replace Him with another master. That's exactly what it means by addiction. You replace Jesus Christ by another master. When Jesus says, you make sure you have sufficient rest so that the next morning you continue to do my work and my will and be a good witness and testimony. But your other master, internet, says, you stay up late and you play with me. Whose voice are you going to listen? You are now the temple of the Holy Spirit, of God. You are supposed to bear His witness and testimony now. And then your parents and your unbelieving parents look at your life. And you go to church, and you are a Christian, and you behave like this, you can't even have some control over the use of the internet. What kind of Christian are you? What kind of God do you have? What kind of Jesus Christ do you have? That's exactly how they're going to conclude by the way that they look at your life. You can't control. And we know the games are designed to capture and to enslave. That's what the games are for. Why do you think people buy them? Why do you think they make millions out of them? To make it interactive and slavish. That's the purpose. On purpose. Do you know that? Don't you realize that, Christian? Don't you fall for it? You must remember the first biblical reason. This body is now a living witness and testimony for Jesus Christ. Your life, to whom? To your loved ones at home who are Christians, they will be further encouraged as Christians. And to those who are non-Christians, they need to see Christ to find salvation. You want to condemn them to hell because you want to listen to the voice of the internet? Play me. You think the souls of your unsaved loved ones is worth it? Because I can't testify for Christ to your unsaved loved ones. I don't know them, they don't know me. They know you, your world. It's not my world. Just like you can't testify for Christ to my friends, my loved ones. They are my friends, my loved ones. You have to do it to your own friends and loved ones. And when you allow things like this to hold you and to control you and you come under the power of them, the name of Jesus Christ is dragged down the drain because of you. Second biblical reason, verse 19b, which ye have of God and ye are not your own. The second thing is you don't have ownership of your Christian body. If you are truly born again, Jesus now tells you, I am now the new owner, not you. So therefore, your will must now be subservient to my will. You can't just simply do what you want anymore. I now own you. And that's exactly what it means when you have a new master. And the new master is Jesus Christ. Romans, in Romans 6, calls it righteousness. Now you must always do what is right. No more do whatever you want as a Christian. Sure, we know that you love to play games. Sure, you are very good at the games. That's not the point, isn't it? That's not the point. The point is, now you must do what your new master demands and expects of you. And he expects and demands holiness. And he expects and demands you have only one master in your life, and that is Jesus Christ who died on the cross for your sins, and not anyone or anything else. That's what it means by you are not your own. Full stop. The question mark is put there on purpose. Because are you a Christian? If you are a Christian, then the answer to this is yes, I am no more my own. If you are not a Christian, then you cannot answer this. You are your own. You do what you want. You are your own boss. You just do whatever you want. You want to listen to the master internet and say, play me by all means. But don't call yourself a Christian then. Because you are hindering the work of Christ by behaving in a manner that does not reflect the right master, that is Jesus Christ. You are now reflecting the internet, which is a different master who is not Jesus Christ. Because that one will ruin you, will hurt you, will spoil you. But not the Lord. And so you have to be very, very clear in your heart, in your mind. This body is now a new witness where you must decrease and Christ must increase. Where your name must now become insignificant to you, whereby now it must be Christ's name that must be most important to you. That when people look at you, they don't see you, they see Christ. And the ownership, that means your will, your motivation, must be dominated by the mind of Christ. Christ must now lead and control your entire life. No more my ambition, no more what I want. I must now ask, Lord, what do you want me to do with this life that you have redeemed with the blood of my Savior, your Son, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ? My ambition of this and that now has to be pushed aside. Lord, what do you want me to do with my life now? It is yours to use. That's what it means by ownership. That's what it means by it's no more your own. Your body is no more your own to do whatever you want. That's why you cannot sin. You cannot just simply go into sinful places and evil places. You can't go to casino. You can't go to any of these places because it's no more your own. And you can't just go to any of the internet sites because it's no more your own. Your eyes are not yours. Your ears are not yours. Every part of your body now belongs to God. And God says anything that is truthful, anything that is pure, anything that is holy, anything that is godly, you think on these things. No more the evil, wicked things which used to occupy your mind consistently, continuously, every waking moment of your old life. But now you are a new life in Christ Jesus. God says, you belong to me. Your body is now my testimony, my witness. And I give you the honor and I give you the privilege. I want you to do this. I want you to be a good reflection of who Jesus Christ is, my Savior. Because they are not going to look at Christ through the study of God's Word because they don't believe in the Bible. But they can see your life. They can see how you live. You think very carefully the kind of impact you can have in the lives of your family members. Maybe, perhaps, that will help you shake you out of your slothfulness. You stay up until the wee hours of the morning, and the moment you wake up the next day, what, 12 noon? 1 p.m.? You think this is the proper conduct and behavior of a child of God? You think God will be pleased? You think God, as your master and owner, asks you to do that? You think that is a good testimony? When you just simply waste your time away, waste your life away, doing what at night? You have been praying without ceasing? Praying without ceasing? Or are you listening to the voice of your internet? Play me! Leave this sanctuary remembering this voice. Play me! When you stay up in the wee hours of your morning, when your mom and dad tells you to go to sleep and you don't listen, you remember this voice. And you ask yourself, do I dare to call myself a Christian? Am I really, really born again? Am I deliberately, openly, full of self-will, allow myself to become a slave to the internet? Because we have this weakness and propensity to be addicted. Why do you think God warns us, don't come under the power of any, even things that are lawful and good for you, don't come under the power of any? Why do you think Paul warns us? Why do you think God warns us? Because God knows that we have this propensity. There's nothing wrong with the internet, only certain programs, certain things that goes through this optic fiber, this net, this backbone. If you click into it, if you get into it, that's how it will hold you and get you and capture you. If you stay up there to do your work, if you don't stay up there to do your project because due date is tomorrow, that's fine. But we are talking about the internet. You're playing games. You're doing things on the net that you know you should not be doing. It is not profitable. It does not help you. It hurts you. It harms your witness and testimony. You have to put a stop to it. You cannot continue for Jesus' sake, for the souls of your loved ones' sake. Would you? Would you really take stock of your life and turn it around and make a covenant with God this evening? No longer. No more, Lord. No more must the internet, no longer will the internet be my master. No more. No more. Third biblical reason, verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. There is a new purpose. From a new witness to a new owner, and now a new purpose. A new purpose for your existence, for your living. New purpose. Because God says salvation is free, but it has been redeemed on your behalf with the precious blood of my only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize that? The blood of God's only begotten Son, God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, came down from heaven, took on the form of a man, and allowed Himself to be buffeted, to be betrayed, to go through all those terrible, painful humiliation and persecution in order to die for your sins. And then now you said, I have accepted what my Lord has done for me. I have accepted Him as my Lord and as my Savior. I receive and I acknowledge that He did it for me. Not just for the world, but for me. And God therefore says, you glorify God in your body. That means your life, what the people can see. You glorify God in your spirit. That means your motivation that people cannot see. That means every part of you, the tangible and the intangible, the visible and the invisible. Every part of you, from your mouth, from your heart, from your mind, everything must glorify God. Because you have been purchased with a price. And that price is the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you think how valuable is the blood of Christ in your life? You ask yourself, what is the value do you put to the price of the blood of Christ? What price tag? Ask yourself, what price tag? Is there a price tag? $1 billion? $2 billion? You dare to put a price tag onto the blood of Christ? Should it not be priceless? It is the blood of our Savior, God's Son. Do you realize that? Do you know what it cost the Lord Jesus Christ to come down from heaven, to come down onto this earth? And to allow Himself to mix with sinful, wicked, depraved sinners like ourselves. And then with all the power at His disposal, He did not raise one word, one finger to deliver Himself. And He allowed these sinful people to do all the things that they did to Him as recorded for us in the Gospels. And then you know that He did all this for you. In order to redeem you, that you don't need to go to hell because of your sins. And then now you say that you now have been delivered from the bondage of sin and the depths of hell, which is the punishment of sin. And you just want to do whatever you want. And your purpose is still now, what? Glorify self. God says you glorify God. You glorify me. I give you the honor when once upon a time you were my enemy. You couldn't do that even if you wished to. Now that you are my son, my daughter, your life can bring glory to my name, dear friends. Do you know how tremendous and how amazing and how wonderful it is? That this sin-stained hands, this lips, this mouth that used to curse and swear and all kinds of vulgarity used to come out of this mouth, this mind of ours that used to be occupied by all sorts of the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, and then this heart used to be ruled by the pride of life, and now has been sanctified by the blood of Christ, the same pair of hands, same mouth, same heart, same mind, God says, washed by the blood of Christ, now it has been sanctified, it has been cleansed, it has been purified. You can now use it to glorify me, won't you? Why won't you? You are a Christian, right? And therefore, I want you to use your life. I didn't ask for perfection. I asked for holiness. I ask that you do not come under the power of anything, even that which may be lawful. Because I want you to have this new purpose. No more your name, no more yourself, but only Christ. You glorify God. That's what God has created man for. To enjoy Him and to glorify Him. We could not do that when we were in sin. Now that God has saved us, now God says, you can glorify me all over again. Why won't you? The time when you can do that is right now. The time when God says, I need you to glorify me the most is right now. In heaven, all will be glorified. Only saints will be there. Sure, you praise me, you glorify me by all means. But I want you to start right now on this earth. Because there are many sinners who need to see this. Who need to see Christ in your life in order for them to find salvation grace. Because in heaven you want to glorify God, by all means, please. But all of us, they're already in heaven. There are no sinners, there are no depraved sinners in heaven. But there are many on earth. And Satan will do his utmost to try to blur and to confuse the world, that they will not see Christ. But I have equipped you with the indwelling of the Spirit of God. I have given you gifts. I have given you my word. I have given you all that you need that you may succeed in glorifying me with your weak, frail life. I didn't ask you to climb Mount Everest. I didn't ask you to must get a university master postgraduate program before you glorify me. I just simply ask you to glorify me wherever you are. To whomever I will bring into your life. That's all.
with a new purpose. Can you not remember this new purpose? Or you want to replace it with your own? But how can you do that? How dare you do that? You have been redeemed with a price, and that price is Christ's blood. How dare you just simply push Christ aside and just what? I have now a place in heaven. I don't care how I live on this earth. God never gave us that permission to live any way we like on this earth. If you are truly born again, yes, your place in heaven is secured. But if you ever dare to even contemplate the notion, the idea, that I want to enjoy heaven in heaven and heaven on earth, you better think again. God does not teach and does not have this kind of Christians. But Lot is a just man, right? And he lived a very luxurious life in the midst of Sodom. But the Bible says he was vexed in his spirit day in, day out. He knew he was wrong. He was vexed in his spirit. He was troubled in his soul. He had no peace in his heart. He never blatantly said, I don't care. Lot is an example of a disobedient Christian, but bear in mind he was vexed in his spirit. If you think you have a place in heaven because some human being promised you after you say the prayer of salvation, now I am a Christian and that's it. Now you can live any way you like and there is no vexation of spirit even though you are now loving the world. Don't use Lot as an example. Lot was vexed in his spirit. He did not enjoy it. He hated it. But he just did not have the strength to get himself out of that pond of depravity that he has immersed himself in because of his love for the world. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, loved you when you and I were enemies. And now that we are his sons, his daughters, he just asks us, you are now with a new purpose. You have a new owner. And now you have a new witness. Would you? Or would you fail me? Is it true that the internet is addicting? Yes. If you allow it. It should not be, because the power that God has given to us is stronger than any power or temptation that the world can throw at us. You watch yourself. You guard yourself. As long as it is lawful, by all means, use the internet for lawful purposes. But even when it is lawful, you don't let it control you. Please. For God's glory's sake. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, help us, O Lord, in this sin-sick world, that we as your blood-bought children may realize how the world needs godly witnesses in this dark, dark world of sin and depravity and confusion. May your children in this congregation not fail thee, but that we may rise to the occasion, O Lord, remembering that we have a new owner in our hearts and in our lives, that we are therefore to be a new witness with a new purpose, to glorify our Father who art in heaven. May this be our heart's cry and our conviction, that from henceforth, O Lord, we will only have one Master in our lives, and he is none other than our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us, therefore, Father, especially many young people and even older ones who are now slaves to the internet. May they give each and every one of them the strength and the conviction, and with thy enabling, to break this hold over them, that they may once again become a godly witness for Jesus Christ. Hear us, O Lord, for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.